Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban.
Bob, this is a very special episode. This is number 100.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And there's been a lot of anticipation on the recording of this episode because there is a lot to reflect on. And in anticipation, I went back and I listened to our first episode, where this all started, in late February, early March of this year. And it was an interesting thing to listen to because it was right in the midst of the impact beginning to be felt on the personal level of coronavirus, which is, it's an interesting thing. When something permeates your culture, whether it's a pandemic or, you know, we had folks come on here and equate this to 9/11, whatever it is, when something big happens, it never is really felt until it hits the individual and it starts to come down upon all levels as a business owner and your business, as your personal life is affected. It left so much to be wondered. It left all these uncertainties in front of people. And that's why we decided to launch this podcast when we did. As we said back then, we had a different vision for all of this, but we've taken advantage of the time that we've had to spend together. We've taken advantage of your travel schedule being delayed. We've taken advantage of the fact that we got this equipment when we did to go and speak to so many people around the globe about what the heck is going on in our world right now and what it means for the thing that me and you breathe every single day, which is the global cannabis industry. So
that's right.
It's been a wild couple of months to do this with you and get to sit here with you and have these conversations. And so I'll put it to you before we really get into the meat and potatoes of this. But what do you think about it all?
What do I think about it all? That's a big one. Now, working on this project with you in particular, and Halston, of course, who sort of keeps us on the run, making sure that we're focused. It's really been spectacular to have these conversations. And you always have the grim reminder of what's going on in the world when you think about COVID and the pandemic and all of the social injustice issues that are going on and just the political rhetoric against that backdrop of things. We've always said stay positive and, you know, continue to be caring and to be respectful, but at the same time to sort of continue on and to continue discussions and talk about things. You ain't going to learn what you don't want to know. And that is something I think that we do very well, is we bring up topics that we want to learn more about. So that's one of my favorite parts about this whole project, is how much I've learned. Working with you and our interactions with our guests have been just spectacular. Some of the finest people, not the least of which was our great friend, Dr. Bell Biggins.
Of course, Dr. Carly Bell Biggins. And one of the things that we said very early on in all of this was that as much as you may want to hang it up and see what tomorrow brings, life goes on. And I think one of the interesting things that we've heard in all these conversations is that sentiment that people cannot simply be relegated to their homes and just stop, because this is a fast moving industry and these are fast moving people. These are people who are proactive. They're always thinking about what the next thing is going to be. We talked to Philip Wolf earlier today, and talk about a guy who is always on the cutting edge. And think about how many of our guests, they're just not the kind of people who are going to be thwarted by this global pandemic. They're going to sit there, whether it's an event organizer who's pivoting to what can I do to move my event to a virtual platform, or the cannabis investment folks, what's going to take off now that people are buying things online more than going into a physical store. Wherever it is, these people are problem solvers, all the folks that we've talked to. And
risk takers.
They are.
Risk takers and problem solvers, but that is the common bond amongst everyone that we talk to. That's what's so special about this industry. It is not perfect by even a stretch of the imagination, but the type of people that enter into it with that energy, that enthusiasm, and to solve problems to questions that nobody was even asking previously.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And I think one of the coolest aspects of what we did, especially early on, was getting to hear about people in different regions of the world and how the pandemic was affecting them. Because every country has reacted differently to this virus. The governments have come up with different policies. For example, we talked to some folks in South America who were doing things based off of gender. On these days of the week, men could go outside. On these days of the week, women could go outside. It's so different than the way that our government has reacted to this. And it's always been interesting, every conversation we've gone into, to just get that sense, that flavor of what is life like where you are right now.
Yeah, no, that's been the life stories, the human story of going through this thing as a society and going through it as a group here in this room for every Wednesday for the last 4 or 5 months. It's been pretty remarkable. It's become a routine. It's become a ritual, using the words that we were talking about earlier. But the international focus is the thing that's near and dear to both of our hearts, because it's not a topic that people think about when you think about the so-called cannabis industry. If you're not familiar with it, you might look at it as being, you know, the Snoop Dogg thing, or you might look at it as, you know, in these very narrow constructs, when what we get to talk about is, on a global scale, the fact that this plant can service and be serviced by so many different industries that if it's used to its maximum capacity, we're seeing it happen in real time. Nothing's perfect. Regulations aren't perfect. Market advances aren't perfect. Operators aren't perfect. And there's lots of mistakes being made. But at the same time, it's pioneering stuff. It's building a brand new global industry that is different than other industries out there because of the breadth of what this plant can do.
Without love in the dream, it will never come true. Let's look at a few of those perspectives, a few of those folks that we talked to that I just want to highlight really quickly, because they stayed with me in the months and weeks since we've talked to these folks. They're just the message of what they're doing and where they choose to focus their energies and their minds during a time like this. Just fascinating to me. One of them is, of course, Dr. Uma Dhanabalan. She came in and she gave us this message of global health and how one prepares for the next pandemic, or at least checks in with their body and make sure that they are aware of who they are and what's going on with them and what are the considerations. And it was just a wonderful conversation.
No, that was a special one. In fact, it was her birthday the other day, I texted her and got into a little exchange with her. But she was a great guest, and it really – well, see, this is the thing about it. The breadth of what we've covered, from medical concepts to scientific concepts to technology to international to marijuana-related issues to global policy issues to hemp and CBD, I mean – the universe of things we've covered, you lose sight of how special sometimes some of these guests are. And I think back at that episode, and we did talk about, at that point in time too, about how cannabinoids and CBD could potentially address the coronavirus. And since that discussion, what have we seen? We've seen studies, task force out there, that seem to suggest that some, excuse me, formulation of cannabinoids can assist with the symptoms or the impact of the coronavirus on the human body. Did we predict the future? Is Dr. Uma a soothsayer?
And that was the and that conversation too extended to Mr. Saul K. The great Saul K. Does CBD cure coronavirus? A very tongue-in-cheek episode, but here we are. That was episode 5, perhaps. And lo and behold, of course, we were talking more about companies who at that time were even getting in trouble for coming out on the internet and saying, hey, our product is the product you need to be consuming to make sure that your immune system is well suited to fight coronavirus. But lo and behold, there are actual studies showing that cannabinoids have some kind of qualities and properties that may be effective. It's just, did we predict the future? Who can say, Bob?
No, it's spectacular that we were able to take positive steps and provide meaningful information in a very difficult time, and how the how the guests have evolved, and you know, and the subject matter has evolved. And that's the thing that, you know, we've talked about, is we want to keep thinking, we want to keep being aggressive in how we want to structure the things we talk about on the show to provide the most information, and so that, again, we eat this stuff up. This is so enjoyable. This is a master's degree in all things cannabis industry in this room, and that's a pleasure to be a part of. And Saul K is a great example of other folks who have taken extraordinary steps during this time to sort of not reinvent themselves. That's not what I mean to say, but modify how they do business, to take events and to put on virtual. Look at the innovation we've seen in this industry with using technology, and across the board, using technology during a time of crisis when you can't get together. And this is such an industry that's so dependent on those interpersonal social relationships. So you look at event producers like Morris Beagle, so forth and so on, that have had to adopt. We talked to Green Tech. We talked to all of these folks that are going through a very difficult time and, you know, making lemonade out of lemons. And that's ultimately, you know, I think that the spin that we've tried to bring. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, this is it's a difficult time, but it doesn't mean that life cannot go on. And that is, you know, that's the perspective I think we bring to the table.
Well, and Bob, you've kind of struck the nerve of where I wanted this conversation to go originally, which is, when we started all of this, the question was, what the heck is this going to mean for the global cannabis industry? And we attempted to bring on these perspectives, to bring up some questions, maybe bring up some answers for those. But now, here we are, it's August. We've been in the midst of this for a number of months now. And I guess my question to you is this: how interrupted was the global cannabis industry by this pandemic? And there's a couple things I want to caveat that question to you with. One is the sales of marijuana products here in Colorado over the last couple of months. They've been soaring. And I also want to make sure that we take into consideration hemp farming this year. We knew that there was going to be some effect on agriculture and the large-scale increase of hemp acreage across the country. And I just am interested, from where you sit and all the conversations you have every day and all the things that you interact with here a couple months down the road, how interrupted, I guess, was the global cannabis industry by this? I think there are silver linings. I think that's what we've always tried to point toward. I'm just interested in your thoughts, particularly on that point.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. So, the interruption, was there an interruption? Certainly, everything was interrupted. It was like getting punched in the stomach. You know what happens is you can't just carry on. That's what, as this began to spread and as it began to see government requirements of, you know, effectively lockdowns. That's a hard thing for anybody to live through, to your point earlier, but and you know, continue to live through. And the industry did take a pause. There was a moment, but it seems that it's continuing to build momentum. We have the essential designation, as you point out, essential business designation. This industry was built in a recession. And it continues to grow and thrive because people keep looking forward. Because I think they say falling down is an accident, getting up is a choice, right? They're making a choice to get up, to keep going, and to build something. And I don't think that the industry has been adversely impacted over the last several months. But initially, as I mentioned, there was a pause. There was a panic. But we saw sales soar. We saw people go to try different cannabinoid products because of what's been in the media. So it's an interesting thing that in the evolution of this world pandemic, the cannabis industry put its stamp out there. Remember the old wax stamps you'd put on a letter, you know, and you put the wax on there. That's what they've done, and that's the most interesting thing about it, because it's going forward. And if the horse don't pull, you got to carry the load. Well, the horse was the coronavirus, and this industry keeps carrying the load forward.
Resilience is the word that I keep coming back to. And I think that part of that resilience is fueled by just the passion. There are so many industries out there where they are held up by the power of people. The power of people going and working every day as a cog in the machine, another brick in the wall, as Pink Floyd famously said. And I think that part of the resilience of this industry and what we've seen in the past couple of months is a response to the fact that people believe so much in what they're doing. And, you know, you pair that against all of these giants failing, which I know is a topic that we've touched on before. These folks who were early movers in the cannabis space who have, they've had a rough time. They've had a rough time for a number of years. We've talked about Canada. We've talked about everything that went down up there from an economic point of view and from an investment point of view. But you cannot seem to repress or subjugate this industry. Where one person fails, another person will come and they will just thrive. There is so much passion, so much fire in people's souls and hearts around advancing this industry, advancing the plant, and continuing the progress that we're standing on the shoulders of giants. We really are, from the social movement. And as you've always said, when that movement becomes an industry, what it really becomes, we're seeing that becoming. We're a part of that becoming. I think we're both humbled just to be here and just to sit and speak with people who are just, they live and breathe it, man. And it's just a special thing. It's a special industry because the people who are in it don't feel like just another brick in the wall. They feel the weight of everything that they are trying to do and the effect that they're having on the world. And whatever it is, it's just a wild thing to be a part of. And as we sit here celebrating 100 episodes, it's just been a wild couple of months. As you've said, I think it is. It's a master course on cannabis. Because when I came in here and you guys put me in the position of speaking to all these folks and being the host of this podcast, you know, I came in here with some hemp knowledge. I've been doing the hemp thing for a little while. But I didn't know a lot about the marijuana side of things. And to just sit back and listen to people talk, whether it's Patrick Lane, Chloe Villano, Ricardo Baca, I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. The depth of knowledge that we've had on here, it's been a master course, undoubtedly.
Yeah, no, it continues to be. And don't forget Justin Fenton from
Justin
Fenton from CT101. You talk about the Giants, and for some reason I have this image of Andre the Giant, the former, the deceased heavyweight wrestler, WWF wrestler. But, you know, you look at MedMen's of the world, you look at these companies, these Canadian companies, these large multi-state operators in the marijuana side of the industry and the hemp side of the industry, folks that went out and raised a lot of money and didn't necessarily succeed for a variety of reasons. Those are growing pains. Those are necessary things for the industry to learn, but it's also not uncommon that new emerging industries attract people that come in with a purpose to build something up perhaps faster than it can sustain itself. And that is natural in a new industry, in an emerging industry, a new economic opportunity. So to look at those and say that there's something severely flawed with this industry is a mistake. Those companies were flawed in some form or fashion, but there's a lesson to be learned there, and it's the natural evolution of how something becomes an industry. The tech boom is reflective of that, the dot-com boom. The natural products industry is another great example of that. If you look at things that have grown really fast, there's lots of folks that come in and companies fail, and they fail on a grand stage. But that doesn't mean that there's not positive things to come out of it or that the system, the industry is broken. And this industry is certainly not broken.
Bob, as we face down perhaps another 100 episodes here in the near future, what are you most excited about? We've heard so many perspectives and stories in the global cannabis space. What is the story that interests you the most? and what you really want to searchlight casting for shadows in the clouds of delusion. Where do you want to point that spotlight so that we can continue to clear up those clouds out there, my friend?
Well, the things I look at is, again, our focus is the global cannabis industry. So I look at the fact that we're actually starting to see real international commerce from the supply chain in the Western Hemisphere moving east in both the cannabis, the marijuana side of the industry, and the hemp side of the industry. That's actually happening now. There's been licensure. There's been public policy changes. There's been investment all over the world. But those countries are finally starting to get to the point where they're producing a consistent material and materials coming to a certain level of quality, and there's buyers on the other end. Now, the interesting thing, the thing that I would watch the most, is the fact that the regulatory landscape is critical, and there's not enough attention being paid to groups to impact the regulatory process. And I'm not talking about legislation specifically. I mean regulations. When we look at how are they going to regulate industrial hemp, the European Union said it would be a novel foods issue as it relates to CBD. And then, the most current position is what is now deemed a narcotic, or at least that's the path they're going down. That's a dramatic change in a very short period of time. And I don't think that's the right public policy. I don't think that's the thing that the industry requires. And we've got presidents of countries all over the world coming out and saying cannabis reform, cannabis industry is a way we're going to get out of this economic downturn due to the coronavirus, which we don't know how bad it will get, but we know it's probably not going to get better immediately. So looking at all those things together, somebody has to get these folks on the same page, and it's easier said than done, but that's the problem. You've got countries looking at it for economic impact, revenue generation, job creation, stability. You look at commerce starting to happen on a global scale, and then you've got regulatory moves that could impact all of that in such a negative way when the industry needs common vision so it can survive and thrive, not individual policies picked out of thin air that prevent and preclude a global industry.
Well, that's heavy. That's heavy, Bob, to take it to the regulatory level. And you're absolutely right. And I think what I want to leave you with, or what I want to put to you before we leave, is what's missing from the equation for those folks? Because we've talked to Catherine Wilson of the European Industrial Hemp Association. We've talked to Garrett Graff, of course, our Hoban Law Group managing attorney, who is just always so wise about what the FDA is doing, what the moves that they are making. Surely there is something out there that these regulatory agencies need to see. They need to feel. They need to know. And it's just everybody's waiting. What can we give them? You know, we've done 100 podcasts. Do we send the Hoban Minute to the FDA and say, hey, you guys really need to listen to this because it might help you make your decision, as they're currently hosting folks right now at the White House to kind of help them flesh all of this out? What can we do, Bob? If you're a listener of this podcast, if you are somebody who just is tired of waiting or just is wondering what that thing is going to be, I don't know. What's your take on that?
What's my take on what the next?
What's the thing? What's the missing? What's the secret sauce? What's the missing component? What do these regulatory folks, whether it's in the European Union, because we both want the same thing, and we both have identified, and especially through this podcast, that there is just a global cannabis industry that is waiting and eager to just build itself.
With untapped potential and exponential potential in terms of its growth and the possibilities. They need to understand that it's here. It's happened. It's not a question any longer of addressing the stigma. The question is to decide where it's properly situated, how you and why you as a country or a region or a local government what's your reason for legalizing it? And understanding that the reasons all around the world are different for and trying to get those governments to understand that it doesn't matter what your reason is, but you have to and even if your reason is, or your justification is, I don't want to have commercial cannabis, we're going to continue to prohibit it. That is okay as well. But you still have to learn the same thing that even the folks that are contemplating it need to understand. The industry is here. It exists right now. Where it's very new. It's brand new. But it's not something that's going to be created that we need to go, what will happen if we do this? There's a pretty extensive track record. They need to pay attention to that. Whether you want to enact cannabis legislation that's favorable or not, you still need to understand and recognize that it's here to stay, it's global in scope, and there are patterns, there are successes, there is growth that is steady, and if you don't adapt to the times and recognize this, you're either going to miss the opportunity, miss the boat, and worst, you're going to disadvantage your people, because there's jobs, there's health impacts, there's so many things that can come out of regulating this plant properly.
This is a success story that is still being written. And at this point, why try to put Pandora back in the box? We've seen the value of all of this. We've seen here in the social experiment here in Colorado of legal marijuana and industrial hemp, a positive story, a story, again, that's still being written. And you can be a part of it, and we're all a part of it. And we want to hear from you on the Hoban Minute, because we are going forward. We are so excited to celebrate this, our 100th episode. I think we might have a Halston interruption here.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Hoban Minute. It's been a journey, and we're so excited to see where we go next.
That was the Halston interruption. And thank you, Halston, for everything you've done, making this a great success. It's been a pleasure. And like I said, these Wednesdays for the last I don't think anybody's spent as good of a time over the last 5 or 6 months. So I'm proud of the work we've done. We should all be proud. And at the end of the day, let's keep on trucking, man.
Has it been that long, Bob? Time keeps on slipping.
So which way are you going to go with that?
All that and more. So much more to be covered and discovered and explored on the Hoban Minute. And we thank you so much for being a part of it with us.
Likewise. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hoban Minute. Do you have any ideas for episode topics or guests? We would like to hear from you. Reach out to us at media@hoban.law and stay tuned for more on the Hoban Minute.